A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
Come tears, but dawn brings joy. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne, the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor, the glory and blessing." When I heard every creature in heaven, on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cried out to the one who sits on the throne and to the might for and to the glory and might forever and ever. The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and the other two of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to him, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and they got into the boat. But at that night they caught nothing. But when it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So they said to him, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. Then the other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. Then they climbed out on shore. When they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread, and Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Then Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized that it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and like manner the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus was revealed and the disciples after the breaking of the bread. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Simon, Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday, the Altar and Rosary Society had their luncheon, and I was supposed to be there, but I hope all of you who went to it enjoyed yourself and had a nice time. I was working on having a flat tire repaired. So I was driving along Everhart Road, and my tire light came on, and it said, "Air pressure, zero." So not 10, not 20, zero. So that tire was flat like a pancake. So I pulled in a gas station, thank God, over there on Everhart Road. There are plenty of gas stations. And I filled the tire up, plenty of air in. And so I'm driving and I'm getting ready to go to the hall where the banquet is. And I just kept the light on just to watch out to see. And so I see 37, 35, 34, down to 27, 25, 24. I says, "Oh, there's something gravely wrong with this tire." So thank goodness for Ziegler Tire. And I pulled in, and yes, there was a big hole in the tire. A big screw was stuck in it. And they told me at Ziegler's, they says, "You know, Father, you were driving with that in for a long time. So I'm very happy that where it happened and not on the highway, not on the freeway." You know, so, but anyway, I hope everyone had a nice time and that the ladies, they raised some money for their Altar and Rosary Society. So anyway, a man who entered the church a week after Easter, he was a very old man. And he was stooped over, and he had an oxygen pack, and he had a cane, and he could barely walk, and his face was thin, and his hair was a distant memory. And he was in his late 90s. And he saw me, and he looked up with a smile, and he said, "Father, Christ is risen." And I said, "Indeed, he's risen." And that's all that needs to be said. The reality of Easter impacts the core of our being. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and the spiritual is real. We who are united with him through our baptism have risen with him. This life that we live is full of limitations. If you remember Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry, life is full of limitations. Man's got to know his limitations. That's the quote. But there are no limitations in the resurrected life. What I heard the elderly gentleman saying was, "My life here is coming to an end, but I have great hope. My life with Jesus is forever. He is risen, and so am I, and so are we. Everything is changed, everything is renewed, and we speak about the new life of the Lord at Easter, but perhaps we don't really understand the profound implications of his rising from the dead. Nothing that happens in this world has value unless it flows from Christ and leads back to Christ. To our two young ladies who are receiving their first Holy Communion today, to receiving Christ indwelling within him for the first time, always remember that in your life, that nothing happens without Christ and everything leads back to Christ. So Peter and the rest of the 12 disciples stood with the same people who had put Jesus to death. There were Ananias and his son Caiaphas and the rest of the gang. And these people that had feared Peter so much, that Peter had feared so much that he denied Jesus three times and to avoid to being brought to them. These are the people that the other disciples were afraid to have that they would be put to death. But what happens? What changed? Jesus had risen. There was new life. And there was new life and there was the Holy Spirit. And the disciples had received new life from the Lord. They realized that no matter what happened to them, this new life was forever. This new life was forever. You know, the Sanhedrin had the disciples and the apostles flogged. And then the disciples, though they left, but they were happy because they were suffering for the Lord. This was a huge change for Peter, but also all of them that were gathered there. And let us focus for a minute on that big fisherman, if you will, the head of the disciples, the head of the apostles, the first bishop of Rome, the first pope. Hopefully, maybe by next Sunday, we'll have a new pope. But Peter, tradition says that he was the first. Of that first experience in the upper room, the Lord, we experience the upper room and Jesus' ascension. Peter and his companions, they were fishing. They had been fishing when Jesus first called them. And when he called them fishers of men, and they were fishing again. They cast their nets, as he told them once again, to the right side of the boat. And they caught a huge number of fish. So much so that the boats were almost sinking. They were so heavy. Peter realized that it was the Lord, and he tucked in his clothes and he jumped into the water. He wanted to be with Jesus. His companions followed shortly afterwards with the fish. 153 huge ones. Why 153? Why not 150 or 175 or some other number? 153 was the number of the then known nations of the world. And the apostles would be hauling in people from throughout the world. And then Peter's three affirmations follow. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. You know? So that we say that the three affirmations are the Lord asking because of Peter's three denials earlier. And so he says to David, David, son of Martin and Elizabeth, do you love me more than these? And he says to you, Catherine, daughter of Ralph and Lily, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, then we are going to care for his people. The disciples do not want to be flogged. No, it was a result of his calling people to Jesus Christ. They receive that new energy, life worth living that was worth it. Nor did they want to be put to death, as Jesus told Peter that would be at the end of his physical life. That would be his own, only his physical death. The love of the Lord is forever. We do not want to be excluded from the inner circle, at school, at work, at home, wherever. We do not want to be excluded. But if it results in people coming to Jesus, it is infinitely worth it. We do not want to make so many hard choices in life. But for the sake of the Lord, it's worth it. His sheep need us to be wholesome, sincere, and the people of God. So in the long run, when we recognize that this world is limited, but the Lord is forever, we admit that the happiness we are tempted to seek, the shallow and selfish ways, and that's not happiness at all. When we enter into the church, we experience the joy of the Lord, the joy that is ours forever, the joys that our two young ladies receiving Christ indwelling today will be forever. And then we can say and look up and say, Father, Christ is risen. God bless you.